Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Into this, I have a few things I want to share with you guys, and then I have a word the Lord's given me. It is a prophetic message, literally. When I say prophetic message, I'm not talking about just prophetic message me to you. I'm talking about in the scripture, it's literally a prophetic message that God has given his people. But I felt like the Lord spoke to me as I was in prayer for the stream that now is the time for you to remember the words the Lord has spoken over you. If you've gotten a word from the Lord or a promise in scripture, the enemy wants you to forget that word. I got a word 13 years ago. The Lord said, Isaiah, I'm going to use you to preach my gospel. I'm going to use you to preach to the nations. I'm going to raise you up. And I'm living in that word right now, but it's easy to forget the word because of life circumstances. It's easy to forget the word. Some of you have forgotten the word God gave you for your ministry. You've forgotten the word God gave you for your children. You've forgotten the word God gave you or spoke over you that you'd be healed, that you'd be delivered. Maybe there's a revival that's coming to your ministry or a church. Maybe God said, I'm going to break that anxiety, that depression. And a lot of us think that because of what's going on in the world or America or our circumstances or our family or our finances, that that word isn't going to come to pass. But I want you to remember that what's going on around you doesn't determine the destiny that God has spoken over your life. You have to hang on to that word. The word hasn't changed. God is faithful to perform it. God wants you to remind him of his word. He told Isaiah, bring it into my remembrance. Speak forth that word. Lord, you said that my family was going to be healed. Lord, you said that my marriage was going to be restored. Lord, you said that you are doing something new in my life. So get that word from the Lord. Find a promise in scripture and stand on the word of God. That's the beauty of scripture. When you get in it, it's full of promises. The Lord says, if you do this, I will do this. If you live this way, I will bless you this way. If you sow this way, you will reap this way. These are words from God and promises. His word doesn't come back void. It will be established. Don't let what's going on around you stop you from remembering the prophetic words the Lord has spoken over your life. Paul told Timothy, based on the prophetic words spoken over you, may they help you fight in the Lord's battle. So the words spoken over you help you fight in the battle that you are in. We are all in a battle. We are all fighting. The Bible calls us soldiers. There's no soldier that doesn't fight and doesn't have an enemy. So we are in a real battle right now in these days. And God says it's time for us to fight. It's time for us to war. It's time for us to go to battle and use those prophetic words to encourage you to fight the battle. Because there are days where I don't feel like fighting. There are days where you don't feel like fighting. There are days where we feel tired and weary because of this great spiritual battle that we are in. And that is when I hang on and I remember the words. And I go, you know what? The devil can't stop my word. Depression can't stop my word. Anger, fear, addiction, whatever generational curse, it can't stop my word. The Lord already said I was called and chosen for such a time as this. And I'm going to keep fighting because I have a word from God and I know it'll come to pass despite what the situation around me looks like. The situation doesn't determine my word. The word determines the situation. So I have words right now I'm hanging on to. When time gets tough, I hang on to those words. God said, I'm going to save you. I'm going to save her. I'm going to deliver this person. I'm going to do this. And so I'm reminding God. And sometimes if you chat, let me know if this is the case. Sometimes God's promises are all you have to hang on to. So I'm preaching to someone who feels discouraged tonight. Sometimes his words are all you have to fight for. Sometimes those prophetic words are what get you through the storms and the seasons of life that are tough. When I feel like God isn't speaking to me, I go back to the past season where the Lord spoke a word over me and I push through the wilderness based on the word. This online thing was a word God gave us. You're going to do online. In 2019, he spoke to us. And so we went all in with it. And here we are 5 years later. It's a word. I was pastoring before, traveling full time, but then the Lord gave me a word. So those words navigate seasons of our life. And some of you are in a tough situation, but you have to realize it's not always going to be this way. You're in a tough situation now, but I want to encourage you. I do have a strong message for you tonight, but I'm bringing you a little bit of encouragement before we go into it. It's not always going to be this way. Maybe you're disappointed because of a layoff or because you're still single or because your ministry hasn't started or that job opportunity didn't go through. But I want you to know you need to look forward. It's not always going to be this way. Stop looking on the now. Maybe you're just in between words. You're living in between prophetic words and you're in a weird place, But I have to know that even in between two words that I'm living in, I got to praise the Lord. I have to believe the Lord. I have to keep fighting. So let me give you a word for someone. You will be healed in Jesus' name. You will find a spouse in Jesus' name. You will be delivered in Jesus' name. You will be bold and preach the gospel. You will come out of depression. Your kids will serve the Lord. You need to start speaking that. Start saying that. My kids will serve the Lord. Maybe there's so much negativity around you because there's so much negative confession in your life. This will never change. I'll never be this. I'll never be that. I'll never go here. I'll never go there. Speak God's word. There is power and there is life in the word of God. As you declare, things will change on my behalf. The Lord is working in my life, even if I don't feel it, even if there's a battle. And there is a battle going on. And sometimes the battle is not even with the enemy, it's with the inner me. Sometimes the fight is right in here. I'm like, Lord, change me. I'm not even fighting the enemy. I'm wrestling with my flesh. And Paul shows us that in Romans 7. I was thinking about this today, that there's this great battle that Paul talks about that's going on, not with the enemy, but with the inner me. Some battles are with the enemy. We know there is a war waging right now and raging right now in the spirit realm with the enemy. But not every single battle is the enemy. Paul says in Romans 7, there's a battle going on. I'm wrestling the flesh. I'm wrestling the old man. I'm wrestling. There's this inner battle. And then Paul says in Romans 7, and I'm just going to take a few verses out of Romans 7, but in verse 15, he goes, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. This is the wrestling match some of you tonight find yourself in, where you're going like, I want to do good, but I keep doing bad. And then he says in verse 15, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. And I want to do what is right, but I can't. And he goes, I've discovered the principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, inevitably do what is wrong. And then he says this, but there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin that is within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? And then he goes, thank God. This is in Romans 7, 23, verse through 25. Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. So you see how it is? In my mind, he says, I want to obey God's law, but my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. There's this battle going on, but you can overcome that battle. We can be free tonight from that sinful nature. We can be free tonight from that thing holding us down, dragging us down. But we can't just sit back. We have to fight. We have to fight because the flesh wants to fight against the things of God, and we have to fight to live for God. We have to fight to walk in the Spirit. I want to do what is right. Any of you tired of doing what you hate? You ever do something you're like, I hate when I do that. Maybe it's getting angry. Maybe it's falling into lust. Maybe it's walking in perversion. Maybe it's thoughts you have. Maybe it's rage you have. Maybe it's words that come out of your mouth. Maybe it's going back to that old addiction. You're like, I hate this. How can I escape this life dominated by sin and death? The answer is in Christ. Outside, and then Paul says, nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. Outside of God, my own sinful nature, there's nothing good in it. I find my worth in Christ. I find my purpose, my value, my joy, my peace. I find it in Christ. And people are like, oh, I need to go find myself. No, you don't need to find yourself. Because in your own effort and energy and strength, you are wicked, immoral, and evil in your own sinful nature. But Christ has set you free from the power of sin and death. And Paul says, what a miserable person. The answer is Christ. Without Christ, what a miserable person, people we are. What a miserable life we live without Christ. Without walking in the power of his Holy Spirit. Without walking in his anointing, in his fire. We live a miserable lifestyle. But when Christ comes, he changes things. He changes things. So we can't live our lives getting Christ, getting free from our sinful nature, and this is the message I have for you tonight, free from the desires of the flesh, free from the demonic spirits, and then now that Christ has set us free, we forget and we neglect the Lord. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like, now that I'm a Christian and months go by, and then we start forgetting God, we get busy in life. We get busy with our kids. We get busy with our families. We get busy in our marriage, and we forget about Christ. This was the theme of Israel, and this is the message I'm going to give you tonight. And I'll give you where it's at. But it's God blessing. The context of where we're going tonight is God blessing Israel. God blessing his people and prospering them. Because this is God's desire. God wants to bless us. I know people are like, oh no, I can't be blessed. It's bad to be blessed. Where's that? God wants to bless us. God wants us to prosper. being prosperous, I'm just going to put my chat sideways over here because I have no chat on screen, is a biblical thing. Being blessed is a biblical thing. Why would God not want to bless us? Here's the problem. When God blesses us, this happens all the time. We make an idol out of the blessing. We worship the blessing. And furthermore, everything we get comes from God that's good, and then we forget about the God that gave it to us. Every time we're successful, we have the tendency as humans in our own nature, like Paul said in Romans 7, is we forget about God. We forget to pray. We forget to worship. Guys, let's act like this isn't true. Let's not act like this isn't true. I've gone days where I'm like, oh man, I've forgotten to pray. I've forgotten to read. It'll be the end of the day. And I'm like, man, I didn't even think about the Lord. I didn't even pray today. I didn't do anything for God today. I've been so lazy all day. That happens to me all the time. I'm like, how easy it is to live a blessed life and forget the Lord. And so this is a plea to the Lord. This is a plea from God to his people in the context of what I'm giving you, is it always takes storms and trials and struggles to get us to go back to God. Maybe the constant storms and trials and struggles in our life are a result of us neglecting and forgetting the God who blesses us and going right back to our bondage. And the Lord saying, I don't want you to go through these trials. I don't want you to go through these issues you're going through. But if I don't allow you to go through them, you'll never seek me. Because think about this. For a lot of us, the only time we seek the Lord, and again, I'm not just preaching to you, I'm preaching to myself. Okay, so don't get all offended and cry in the chat. The only time we seek the Lord is when we're going through something. The only time we seek the Lord is when we need something. How would my wife feel if the only time I went to her is when I needed something? Hey, I need you to do this. Hey, I need you to do that. And all the other times I never go to her, but whenever I need something. That's how the Lord feels when we only go to him. It's like God has become, for many of us, a personal nanny that when we call when we want something cleaned up. Or like a car insurance policy that we call whenever we wreck our lives. And then we neglect him the rest of the time. This is where Israel's at during the message I'm going to give you, during the verses I'm about to give you. This is the context, okay? But we have to ask ourselves, where is the prayer meetings when our whole family is saved? We can go to prayer meeting, we got to pray for our family. Then the whole family gets saved and we stop praying because we've lost the urgency to pray. We've lost the urgency to cry out to God. We have to get to a place where we say, I'm not only going to cry out to God when the nation's in turmoil, I'm going to cry out to God when the nation's blessed. Like, where is our hunger for God when nobody is sick in our family? When nobody is lost in our family? Where there's money in the bank? Like, whenever things are good, we don't pray, we don't fast, we don't seek him. Then when things are bad, we cry out to the Lord. So wouldn't it make sense that the Lord would allow? He goes like, I don't want you to go through these things, but I allow these things because if I don't and you don't go through these, you keep neglecting me. And that's why I think a lot of Christians can't handle wealth or nice things. Because when you get them, they become idols. They become objects of worship. And what we're talking about tonight is spiritual adultery. We start cheating on the Lord with the things that he blesses us with the people around us spiritually, we commit adultery on the one that we're in covenant with for other idols and other gods. This is something that God would constantly indict Israel for. You're cheating on me with things. Now, it's nothing wrong with having nice things, but when they become idols and things of worship, when you don't realize none of them are eternal, they're all going to be dust. They're all going to be meaningless on judgment day. Nothing's going to matter. Don't lose sleep over wrecking your car. Don't lose sleep over losing material possessions. Money comes, money goes. It's part of life. Don't get attached to objects. Don't get attached to idols. Don't get attached to the pleasures of this life. They are fleeting. Come on, share this broadcast. Let's get the word out here. They are fleeting. They are passing by. They're only temporary. They're not going to last. They're not going to stay forever. And too many of us are attached to things that are not going to matter in 100 years. Are not going to matter in 150 years. So we need to lose attachment to those and say, Lord, I'm going to thank you during the trial. Because Israel would stop inquiring with God when they were successful. And that's America. That's America. We've forgotten God. That's our lives. We've forgotten God. That's the American church. We don't really need the presence of God because we have everything else. We have all these other options. We have too many options in our life. But then the Lord allows trial. Guys, the times that I hate to admit this, where I would seek the Lord the hardest were when was when I didn't have money, was when I couldn't pay the bills, was when I had a family member that is sick. Like, we find out a family member is sick, everybody's praying. And that's good. You should.
Everybody's in the group chat praying. Everybody's close. Everybody's in church again now. But why did it take the cancer? Why did it take negative money in my bank account? And I'm preaching from experience to get me to pray, to get me desperate. Let's learn to pray when there's money in the account. Let's learn to pray when the family's well. I don't just want to thank God when I'm blessed. I want to thank God when I'm not blessed. I just want to thank God when I'm sick. I want to thank God when I'm healed. Do you see what I'm saying? So here's Israel, Hosea chapter 1. Everything's fine. God's blessed them. So now they begin to cheat on the Lord. So now they begin to commit spiritual adultery on the Lord. And so the Lord gives a strong message, a prophetic message. So I'm giving this message here to you as a message that the Lord gave Hosea, a prophet, because back then there was actual prophets that spoke the word of God. How many of you know, type one in the chat, if we need prophets again? I got my little phone chat here standing up so I can see it. We need prophets again in the church. We need men and women that would just speak the word of the Lord, unadulterated, unfiltered, raw. And I pray, Lord, I want to be one of those people that speak your word without compromise and without fear. And I think that's one of the reasons why people watch me and why people love me. The same reason why people hate me is the same reason why they love me. People hate me because I just say it the way it is. And people love me because I just say it the way it is. Personally, don't insult me by beating around the bush. Just tell me how it is. Why do I need 40 minutes to sugarcoat it for you? If you're in spiritual adultery, just tell me I'm in spiritual adultery so I could repent and get right. I never want to have a filter. And I haven't, to be honest with you guys. Maybe you already know that in the chat. Maybe you're like, yeah, I already know. Prophets didn't have filters. Prophets didn't say, well, let me see. What do the people want to hear? I'll be honest with you guys. Social media makes it to where you almost want to say what people want to hear. But I still haven't given in to that, which is why I'm always banned everywhere. I am not going to give in. I would rather lose everything and speak the word of the Lord unadulterated than to try to sugarcoat it, water it down, and compromise it so I could have a large following. And honestly, I'm shocked by the fact that I have, you know, several million followers. It blows my mind. I'm like, I never thought I was going to have any followers. I never thought our channel would ever grow because the stuff I preach is not popular in a sense. It is popular, and I'm going to tell you why. People are tired of sugarcoating. People are tired of beating around the bush. They want true messages of conviction. So that's a reason why my channel is popular. But I didn't think it would be because I'm like, well, people don't want to hear this. And people don't, but it's good. It's good for them. It's like when you go to the doctor and you have cancer, right? You don't want the doctor to tell you you have cancer. Nobody wants to hear there's a cancer, but you're grateful that somebody told you before it's too late. So in one sense, you're like, I don't really want to hear this. But in another sense, you're like, hey, if there's sickness in my body, I want to know about it and I want to be well. So a loving doctor wouldn't sugarcoat it and say, oh, there's nothing there, which is what a lot of preachers and pastors do. They're in denial. They act like nothing's wrong. They act like everybody's fine. They act like the church isn't on the broad road. They act like everybody's just merry and good. And there's this like just sugarcoated sermons being preached. No, sound the alarm, blow the trumpet. We need revival. We've committed spiritual adultery. So the Lord gives a message. And anytime a nation, or a people would be in bondage or turn from God, the Lord would speak a message through a prophet. Now, I am speaking a message that the Lord spoke thousands of years ago through a prophet. But how many of you know it's just as applicable today? Because the word of God is for teaching, correcting, reproof, and the lessons we learn then teach us how to live through the ages. So this is timeless. This is a timeless sermon. This, when I was preparing this and reading this, I was taking this as God was speaking this to me. So have your spiritual ears ready and go, this is the Lord speaking to me tonight. The Lord is speaking this and rebuking me and correcting me. And this is the message God would give to a people that have forgotten God. And let's be honest, we have forgotten God as a nation, as a people. Let's be honest, many of us, we forget God all day long. We're blessed, we're prosperous, and I'm in the same boat. And we have to be intentional about our worship and our praise so we're not committing spiritual adultery. And at the end, guess what we're gonna do? Repent, me included. Lord, if I've committed spiritual adultery, I repent. Lord, if I've been cheating on you like I see here, I repent. So here's the message, Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. I'll give you all the verses, you can write them down or follow along. But here's the message, Hosea 1:1. The Lord gave this message to Hosea, son of Beeri, during the years when Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah were kings of Judah, and Jeroboam, son of Joash, was king of Israel. So here's the message the Lord gives. In these days, preachers were not getting messages from the latest book, from some website, from somebody else's ministry. They weren't writing self-help guides. They got their messages from God. This is how it worked. They would get in a place of prayer. They'd get themselves in a place of holiness and righteousness, and the Lord would speak to them. This is what we need. Pastors teach that God doesn't speak anymore. And I would always be frustrated by that. And then I realized, well, maybe God isn't speaking to them. So they just think God doesn't speak to anybody. And we should not be guinea pigs for what God can do. So for example, a pastor who doesn't speak in tongues will start teaching, oh, tongues aren't for today. A pastor that doesn't lay hands on the sick will start teaching, oh, healing the sick isn't for today. Pastors who don't do deliverance will start teaching, oh, deliverance isn't for today. So pastors that don't hear from God, which are a lot of leaders in the church, and I am a leader, so I could speak this, they say God doesn't speak because God isn't speaking to them. But I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend you, but I am. Just because God isn't speaking to you doesn't mean God isn't speaking. Maybe the problem isn't with God. Maybe the problem's with the spiritual leader or the spiritual pastor who's not hearing from God. Maybe it's not that God isn't speaking to you. Maybe it's that you're not listening. When's the last time you checked your inbox to see what God is saying? When's the last time you checked your voicemails from God? When's the last time you sat quiet for an hour and said, God, I want to hear from you? Maybe your inbox is full of messages from everybody else in your life but God. Maybe God's messages are going to your spam box. You know, it's like your email. If they don't recognize the conversation, it goes right to the spam box. Maybe all of the messages God has been sending you are in the spam box because you and him don't have a relationship. So it just automatically like, I'm just going to go to spam, send it to my trash because I don't know him. I don't hear his voice. Well, what impact could we make if our messages and our sermons and the prophetic voices in this generation were coming from God and not from the culture? If the church was driven by holiness rather than worldliness. Am I preaching? Let me look down here at the chat at my phone. Am I telling the truth? What if we went to church on Sunday and we expected, this is going to sound crazy, what if we expected God to speak to us through our pastor? Like, what if we expected our pastor to have a word for us and speak forth the word of God with power and with authority and not be timid or shy? Because I look at these prophets, I'm like, they were bold. They weren't worried about what if the tithers leave? Who cares if the tithers leave? I know people. Well, I don't really take invites much. Very rarely do I take invites. But when I used to take a lot of invites, I know pastors are like, oh, I'm scared to bring you out because what if the tithers leave? I'm like, bro, if you're really worried about that, you can't be a voice for God. I learned this a long time ago, what I'm doing right now, if I was worried about getting canceled, if I was worried about what religious people think, if I was worried about what worldly people think, if I was worried about what platforms think of me, I couldn't do what I'm doing. I would be unable to do it. I can't live my life worried about that because I have to speak forth. What is God saying, Hosea? What is God telling you to speak? And for the most part, God is ignored in most churches. All of our meetings, our networking, little prayer meetings, little revelation, little new speaking, the new thing God is saying and doing, fresh revelation, little of any of that. It's all recycled. It's all regurgitated. It's all dry. It's all dull. We need God to speak to us. Now, God, of course, has spoken in his word, but God can still speak. God, you're telling me, God, you believe the devil speaks? Come on, if you're a cessationist, I hate to point you out, that doesn't believe that God actively speaks to people, which is mind-numbing to even think about that you believe that, which that's a whole nother message. You believe the devil speaks. You believe demons speak. You call people demons, but you don't believe the Lord speaking. God is speaking to his people. God is speaking to his people. But when there's no prayer meetings, there's no holiness, I challenge you tonight, if you hear anything, get a word from God. Ask God to speak to you tonight. Say, God, speak to me. And I'm speaking his word, so guess what? God is. Because God speaks through his word. The nation will change when we have messengers that will speak from God. What does God want to say? What does God think of my life? What is God speaking to the church? What is God calling us into? What is the word of the Lord for us? I'm believing that the prophets of this country will begin to listen to the message that God is speaking to us. Will God speak forth the word of God, and we will listen to the messages that the prophets are speaking. And when I say prophets, I mean guys that are calling us back to God. guys call. I'm not talking about some goofy prophetic words on YouTube. I'm talking about all these goofy prophecies about in 3 days and 4 days, 90% of them don't even come to pass, okay? I'm not talking about these cryptocurrency prophets, these stock market prophets. You think God's more worried about cryptocurrency than calling men to repentance? Millions of people are going to hell and you're like listening to prophets that are telling you about cryptocurrency. Okay, do your cryptocurrency, but God's worried about souls. God's calling people to repentance, not calling people to go buy Dogecoin. Like, another prophetic word, 2 hours about cryptocurrency. Bro, nobody cares. Give us the word of God. Call the nation back to repentance. That's the hour. That's the hour we're living in. There's way too many, I don't even want to get into it, but there's so much goofy prophecy happening online. So many goofy people that call themselves prophets. And what's crazy is a lot of them fall into sexual immorality. I'm like, you're a legitimate prophet, but you couldn't see that Jezebel coming after you? That Jezebel wanting to destroy you? Like, guys, we have to clean it up. We have to clean up and hear the word of God. His sheep hear his voice, John 10:3. The doorkeeper opens and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. A mark of the true believer, John 10:3, is hearing the voice of God. God says, they'll hear my voice. They'll hear my voice. And then verse 4, he says, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So we need to know the voice of God. And I'm not taking shots at crypto. I'm taking shots at prophets that have made 90 videos about what crypto to buy, and the crypto's done nothing. It's still low. And you're like, why are we, again, I don't even want to go into that because I could go days on that. The sheep hear his voice. They don't follow the stranger because they know the voice of God. So the Lord is speaking, and the Lord begins to speak to Israel. So here's a message from God to Israel through the prophet Hosea. Because here's the thing, Hosea 1:2, when the Lord began speaking to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, as the Lord began speaking, the messages God is giving is not just to Hosea, they're for Hosea to give to other people. This is the essence of prophecy, speaking words from God. Yes, God, please take this. If you don't get nothing, get this tonight. God wants to speak to you so he can speak through you to the people around you. So people that have no relationship with God, that are disconnected from God, can hear him. They can't hear him otherwise. They're not praying. They're not fasting. So the Lord says, how am I going to get through to them? I'm going to speak through you to them. You have the ability to be a conduit for God to speak. God, Creator God, says, I want to speak through your life. I want to use your life. And I want to reach people in this generation. And the words from God point people back to God. You want to know a true prophetic word? What is it pointing people to? Is it pointing people to me? Is it pointing people to crypto? I'm just using an example. It's an easy, low-hanging fruit. Is it pointing people to this certain thing? Is it pointing people to my network marketing schemes? Or is my prophetic words pointing people to God? Because that's what true prophecy was and is the Lord speaking, me speaking the words of God, and tonight drawing you not to Isaiah, but drawing you back to God. If you're in spiritual adultery, calling you back to the Father, calling you back to relationship. That was true. That was the true message from God. It's impacting to people. It brings people out of their complacency and their apathy, and it comes with discomfort. It comes with anguish. It comes with a burden. It comes with a trial. Delivering the word of God doesn't come lightly. This is God's plan to speak through you to the world. You are the world's contact. You are the world's contact to God. How do they reach God? Through your life. You are representative of God. I'm going to show you this right now. They've been completely cut off with God. The Bible says they are at war with God. I was at war with God. You were at war with God. But Christ made peace, made us at peace with God. But we're the bridge. We're the ones that stand in the gap for them. We lead people to Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Look at this. And all this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. It's one of my favorite verses in all the Bible, 2 Corinthians 5:18. And God has given us this task, this ministry, of reconciling people back to him. That is your job. If you don't know, you have a ministry. It's the ministry of reconciliation. You're called to reconnect people back to God. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. Look at this. So we are God's ambassadors. We are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Think about that. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. That's the message of God right there. Verse 21, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sins so that way we may be right with God through Christ. So you've been given the ministry of reconciliation and God wants to speak through you. This is how God would speak through the prophets. Now, here's the interesting thing is, this is the New Testament. God isn't speaking through people and to people. Well, here the Bible says is you're Christ's ambassador. And when you're calling people back to God, you're speaking for Christ. And prophecy is speaking the words of God. That's why Paul said, take turns when you prophesy. New Testament, take turns. Why? The spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. You can prophesy on demand. That's what Paul said. He said, you all can prophesy one by one, taking turns. If we're able to take turns when we prophesy, excuse me, my nose is so itchy. If we're able to take turns when we prophesy, then it's not just spontaneous. And that makes people mad, but the reality is the spirit of prophecy is subject to the prophet. That means God always wants to speak to people. God wants to speak to the people around you. God desires to speak to your friends and family. This is a longing in the heart of God. Here's the word, okay? So Hosea's here. He gets a word from God. The nation's in compromise, complacency, like us. Let's not be in denial here. And this is the word that God gives Hosea. Marry a prostitute. So he says, Hosea chapter 1, verse 2. When the Lord began to speak to Israel through Hosea, he said to him, go and marry a prostitute so that some of her children will be conceived in prostitution. This will illustrate. So now not only is God giving him a crazy word. This is in your Bible. You're like, I didn't know the Bible had this. It's in there. Hosea chapter 1. But not only is God giving him a crazy word, God says this will illustrate how Israel, that's speaking to us tonight, has acted like a prostitute by turning against the Lord and worshiping other gods. This is where we're at tonight. We have acted like a prostitute by turning from the Lord and worshiping other gods. And God said, Hosea, I want your life to be an example to the nation. What do we do when God gives us a word that seems insane? It says, go marry a prostitute. Seems illogical, seems irrational, breaks the barrier, rattles people's cage, breaks the norm, isn't acceptable to everybody else. Now, some of you, God told you to start revival in your living room and you thought that was crazy. At least he didn't tell you to go marry a prostitute, but here they are now. And he says, I want to use your life as an illustration. People will think you're nuts. People are not going to understand. When God gave us a word in 2011 to empty out our house of all the furniture and to start a prayer meeting and to get rid of all the TVs, all the video games, everything in my house, every worldly movie, because his presence was going to dwell. Do you think people thought we were normal? Everybody thought we were nuts. They were like, you're crazy. But you know when they didn't think we were nuts? When in 3 months, there was almost 500 people showing up to my living room, getting healed and delivered and hearing the gospel. How did that happen? Because we had a crazy word from God that everybody else thought was crazy, but we said, I know this is from God. Hosea, now I am not telling you to go marry a prostitute. But what I am telling you is when God gives you a word that everybody, am I helping anybody? That everybody else thinks is crazy, that everybody else thinks is illogical. God told Noah, build an ark. It had never rained. Okay, like God's like, yeah, water's going to fall from the sky. The water at that time had come from the ground, the Bible says. There was never rain before the days of Noah. And here's Noah building a massive boat. Everyone's like, dude, why are you building a boat? You've lost your mind. 100 years, this guy's being ridiculed, being laughed at. 100 years, think about this. And Noah's building the boat, 100 years. Building the boat, doing what God told him to do. Doesn't make sense. Is this helping some of you now? When you're like, the word God gave me doesn't make sense. Welcome to Christianity. Didn't make sense when we were moving furniture out of our house into our garage, but then hundreds of people started coming and it made sense. Building the ark, and Noah's like, the laughing stock of the world at the time. This guy's building a boat. He's saying water's going to come from the sky. I mean, how dumb can you be? Water's going to come from the sky. And Noah's warning them, preaching, the judgment of God is coming. Judgment of God is coming. Get in the ark. The rain's coming. And what were they thinking the moment the first drop of rain fell on their hand? Imagine being those that were mocking Noah, and then all of a sudden, the first drop of rain lands on your hand. Think about how crazy that is. And you're like, he was right all along. We mocked him. So this is Hosea getting a word from the Lord. Look, the word God has given you might look foolish to everybody around you. You're going to do what? An online ministry? Guys, they thought I was crazy. Literally. Pastor friends like, hey, yeah, do you know so-and-so's said to this about so-and-so? Like, they thought I was off my rocker. I had friends admit to me after, like, we thought you were crazy. Literally, to this day, I had friends admit that. Big pastors. Like, when you said you were going to go online in 2019, at the end of 2019, right before the whole pandemic, we thought you were nuts. I thought I was nuts. I'm going to stop my in-person to go online? That was crazy, but I knew it was a word from God. So people are going to look at you like you're crazy. People are going to look at you like you're weird. But you have to know God has given me this word, and I'm going to stand by the word of God. So Hosea's like, I got a crazy word to marry a prostitute. It's a word from God. What would our counsel be to Hosea? That's not God. No way God called you to do that. And I had people tell me that. No way God told you to go online and shut down your in-person and stop pastoring and do traveling only once a month. That can't be God. There's no way. But here's the thing. His ways are not our ways. When people say there's no way, Hosea, God would call you to do something like that, just know that God has a bigger plan than you realize. That God's ways are higher than your ways. Like, we would have told Hosea, why would you marry someone that has nothing to offer you? She's scum. She's worthless. This is what we would say. We would say she's dirty. She's filthy. She's been with so many other people. That would be our advice. And I'm grateful. When God told Jesus to come down and marry us and be in relationship, Jesus didn't go with that advice. God says, Jesus, I want you to die for sinful, filthy, unworthy people. I want you to marry this church. Do you see Hosea as a type of Jesus who says, I'm going to marry you, connect myself to you, and you have nothing to offer me? Gomer, who Hosea is going to marry, has nothing to offer Hosea. But Hosea still says, I'm going to obey the word of God. I'm still going to marry this girl. And Christ says, I'm still going to connect myself to you. So you can be washed so that all your shame, all your guilt in one moment can go away. So he said, Hosea, marry Gomer. Understand in the story, this is one of the crazy stories in the Bible, of Hosea marrying a prostitute named Gomer. In the story, I'm Gomer. I'm Gomer in the story. I'm the worthless prostitute. I'm the one that had no value and no worth when God found me. I'm the one that Jesus decided to die for, to attach himself to. It's you and me. We're the messed up ones. If you think you're Hosea in the story, you're not. You're not. You're not Hosea. You're Gomer. You're the one that is broken, that has cheated on God, that has broken every one of his laws. I was minding my own business. I was worshiping and serving and indulging in every idol I can imagine. January 12th of 2011, on a night just like this, when Hosea came and found me and rescued me and made a covenant with me. I was just at an altar. I was Gomer. I was filthy. I was dirty. I was spiritually prostituting myself. I was with all these other idols, all these other things in my mess. And Christ said, that's the one that I want to die for. That's the one that I want to connect myself to. Hosea literally means salvation. The name Hosea means to save. And God says, I want you to save these people. Look at this though. This is what he says, to illustrate how Israel has acted like a prostitute. God says, I want to use this word to illustrate and use your life to illustrate to others what I'm doing. That's what our life is to the world. It's an illustration of God and man walking side by side. So Hosea's life is going to be an illustration to other people what God is doing. And our life is an illustration. We are written epistles read by all men. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2. You're an epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you're an epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart. You are a representation of God in the earth. You are a sign to the world of God's healing power. You are a sign to the world of God's covenant-keeping power. You are a sign to the people around you of God's ability to deliver and to save and to heal. We are walking billboards. What is the world seeing when they read us? I want to be something they read of a story of signs and wonders and miracles and revival and awakening and salvation, the Spirit of God moving and passion and excitement. I don't want to be a representation of boredom, of spiritual dryness, spiritual death. Hosea was a representation of God's relationship to the church. I want to be a good representation of God. Matthew 5:13. You are the salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled on as worthless. You are the light of the world. Notice this. For all of you people that are very, very, very false humble, that you're like, it's not about me, brother. It's only Jesus. I'm not light. I'm not. The Bible says you are. So I know we walk around like I'm a nobody and God can't use me. But Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Think about that. That sounds blasphemous if you don't know the Bible. This is what he says. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, you put the lamp on a stand so it could give light to everyone in the house. In the same way, this is what Jesus said, let your good deeds shine before everyone to see, so everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So they see whose good deeds? Your good deeds. It's not about works and deeds. Okay. You can live your life that way and be lazy and no one will have a reason to praise God. Do people around you have a reason to praise God? Because if they see your works and your good deeds, then they will glorify, praise your Father in heaven. If there's no good deeds or works in my life, who are they going to praise? So my good works and good deeds bring people to praise the Father. Salt brings life. It brings flavor. We ought to do that. Be excited about God. Bring flavor to the dry, boring deadness around you. Everybody's bored, dry, lifeless. There's no color in people anymore. And Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You bring that flavor and you bring that life and you bring that excitement and you bring that sense of purpose in people around you. Flavor it up. Salt, get that salt going. If not, it's worthless. If it has no flavor, if you are a flavorless Christian, how could I say this nicely? I can't. You're worthless. Tweet that, clip that, send that to the Heresy Hunters. They're low on content. If you are a flavorless Christian, you are worthless and you're thrown out. And the Bible says you're trampled underfoot as worthless. You're stepped all over. No wonder the world walks all over us because we have no flavor. We have no light. We're dry, we're boring, and we're just like them. They want something different. They want something fresh. They want freedom. They want life. They want to see somebody that overcomes adversity. But here's the thing. A lot of us, we're worthless because we have no flavor. We have no, there's life in us. We have God in us. Light extinguishes darkness. Darkness, they say darkness doesn't exist. So like light, you can measure on a scale how colors of light and the depth of light and the intensity of light and all this stuff. There's scales to measure light. You can measure the temperature of light using the Kelvins, right? 3000 Kelvin, 5000 Kelvin. I know this because I have lighting, so I'm using that. But anyway, darkness cannot be measured. They say darkness doesn't exist in science because it can't be measured. Darkness is the absence of light. The world is dark because light is hiding. That's the bottom line. Where darkness abounds, light has not presented itself yet. When the light shows up, the darkness doesn't fight the light. It flees. It has to. It gets eradicated because the light comes. The reason why the world is dark is because we as the church put baskets over us. We cover the light. We put a basket over our head and we hide in the church. We hide from the light. But we're not called to play flashlight tag. We're not called to hide our light. We're called to let our light shine. So God says, let your light shine. Stop hiding. But Israel has acted like a prostitute. Can you imagine God saying this about you? You're acting like a prostitute. These are God's people. These are the ones that knew the stories and the laws of God and the miracles he did. He brought them out of the Red Sea. And God said, you are a prostitute. All the miracles they saw, look at this, were not enough to make them stay faithful to God. Some of you think, if I just see more miracles, I'll be faithful. It didn't help Peter. It didn't help Judas. It didn't help these people. They literally would see miracles, and the next day they would go prostitute themselves, dancing around golden calves. So we have to get to a place where you resolve, it doesn't matter what I see, I'm going to serve God, and I'm not going to cheat on him with the things of this world. I'm not going to cheat on him with idols. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 1. If a man divorces his wife and marries another man, should he return to her again? Would the land not be completely defiled? But you, and this is what the Lord says to Israel, you have lived as a prostitute with many lovers. Would you now return to me, says God? Imagine the Lord says that to us. We think we're his people, and the Lord's like, Isaiah, you are a prostitute. You sleep with other idols. You sleep with other gods. You're in bed with other things. Hosea chapter 4, verse 12. He said, my people counsel from their wooden idols. I'm sorry. My people ask counsel from their wooden idols, and their staffs inform them. For the spirit of the harlot has caused my people to stray, and they played harlot, a prostitute, against their God. He's like, you are asking advice from idols. Like, you go to idols to get advice. You go to secular, worldly things to get advice. And God's like, you don't take counsel from me, but you take counsel from idols. And the Lord says, you're a prostitute. This is what he's saying to them. Jeremiah 2:33. He says, how you plot and scheme to win your lovers. And then he says this to Jeremiah and the people, even an experienced prostitute can learn from you. So the Lord says this, name the first daughter you have with Gomer the prostitute. He says, name her, in this Hosea 1:3-6, name her Lo-Ruhamah. So Hosea married Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she became pregnant and gave Hosea a son. And the Lord said, name the son Jezreel, for I'm about to punish King Jehu's dynasty to avenge the murders he committed at Jezreel. In fact, I'll bring an end to Israel's independence. I will break its military power in the valley. Soon Gomer became pregnant again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said, Hosea, name your daughter Lo-Ruhamah, which means not loved. Then he says this, for I will no longer show love to the people of Israel or forgive them. God says, my love has ran out because you've rejected me. And this is a scary message tonight, but it's prophetic. In these days, he says this, because you've rejected me, because you've cheated on me, because you've been unfaithful to me, he goes, this is how I feel about you. I will no longer love you. I will no longer forgive you. I will no longer show you love. At what point does the love of God change us so we actually obey him and we stop cheating on him? John 14:15, Jesus says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Like, why? What? When are we going to start changing the way we live and stop worshiping other idols and stop worshiping false gods and false idols? When are we going to get to a place where we say, I'm tired of cheating on the Lord. I'm tired of disobeying his word. I'm tired of preferring every other thing but him. When we have 10 things to choose to do, we choose everything else but God. And we neglect the Lord, and we neglect his presence, and we neglect his spirit, and we neglect relationship, we neglect his word, we neglect fasting, we neglect fellowship, we neglect thanksgiving, and all these things we neglect, the Lord has the back burner. He has our 4-minute prayer at bedtime, and the Lord watches us. Now, Gomer and Hosea are married, but she's still out prostituting. And what does it feel like for Hosea to have to see Gomer coming at night? What does it feel like for him to see she's out with all these other guys and he's waiting up at night and here she comes in after being with all these other guys? When does it get tiring for the Lord? You know, his name is jealous. He's a jealous God. And I'm just telling you what so many pastors won't tell you. When do we stop cheating on God, committing spiritual adultery, return to our first love and say, God, I'm sorry for running to the bottle. I'm sorry for running to the iPhone. I'm sorry for cheating on you with social media. I'm sorry for cheating on you with TikTok. And guys, I'm preaching to myself too. I am not preaching at you. I'm preaching with you. I am just as convicted. I am just as guilty. And I'm saying, Lord, I want to be solely committed to you. I don't want to have any idols in my life. And the Lord says this in Hosea 1:7, I'll show love to the people of Judah. I will free them from their enemies, not with weapons and armies and horses and chariots, but by the power as the Lord their God. So as although there was a whole group of people in Israel that didn't love the Lord, there was a remnant still. There was a small tribe named Judah that honored and praised and prayed and fasted and cried out to God. There's always a remnant. There's always a group of people that say, I'm going to stand in the gap in a wayward nation. There's always a group of people that say, God, I want to know you. I'm not going to cheat on you. I'm not going to live my life in darkness and perversion. There's always a Judah, which means praise. Judah means praise. So in the midst of church culture committing spiritual adultery, Judah would rise up and say, I'm still going to praise you. There's still going to be, I want to be like Judah. I want to go on the narrow road against the grind. I want to be the remnant in these days that say, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to serve you. God, I really want to follow you. God, I really love you. I really want to obey your word. I want to stand up and cry out to the Lord in the midst of everybody. And this is all about, guys, tonight, repenting of spiritual adultery. Cheating on God with idols, how we've cheated on him. And then he says, I will free you, Judah, not with weapons or armies, but by my power. This is supernatural. God promises supernatural deliverance to his remnant. It won't be normal, won't be a 10-step program, won't be a 2-year process. God says, I will deliver you with my mighty power. Don't look to the natural deliverance, look to the supernatural deliverance. There's benefits when you're a part of the remnant. If you've been struggling, God says, I want to supernaturally deliver you. I want to supernaturally set you free. I want to supernaturally get you out of that bond that you've been living in. So now Gomer has a second son and a third child named Lo Ami. And this is Hosea 1:8-9. After Gomer had weaned Lo Rahuma, she again became pregnant and gave birth to a second son. And the Lord said, name him Lo Ami or Ami. I don't know how to say any of these names. So I'm probably saying them wrong. But the Lord says, name your third child, second son, Lo Ami, which means not my people, for Israel is not my people, and I am not their God. Now, this was not Hosea's kid this time. Gomer had a baby outside of marriage. And how many times have we gone outside of covenant and birthed things that God never told us to birth outside of covenant? Some of us have jobs outside of covenant. We never ask God if we should get that job. We have ministries we birthed outside of covenant. God never told us to start the ministry. God never told us to get involved with the ministry. We have relationships outside of covenant. Some of you have birthed relationships outside of the will of God. You're dating a guy God did not tell you to date. God did not approve of. God didn't give you a piece about. You know it's not the will of God. So if you do things outside covenant, outside the will of God, God says, I'll name that not my people. I am not their God. I am not going to bless what you've done outside of covenant. I'll prove it to you. Abraham had Ishmael because he wasn't patient with the word God gave him. When we lose patience with what God is doing in our life, we start birthing things outside of covenant. When we are impatient to rush for God to do something, we start losing basically the blessing of God. So we have to stop pushing the doors open ourselves and let the Lord open the doors. Because you'll birth something, and I've birthed things outside of covenant, and they don't work, and they're not blessed, and they don't last, and I don't do them anymore because it was outside of covenant. And I thought it was good intentions. I thought God wanted me to, but then I realized I birthed that outside of God's blessing and God's will. So when you're struggling, the struggle might be because you did it outside of covenant. And God says, that's not my people. The child's name means not my people. And he says, and I'm not their God. God took it so serious, he said, I'm abandoning Israel. He goes, if you want to cheat on me, if you want to go around and compromise with your affections, I'm going to deny you. I don't want you. I'm not your God anymore. And that's what Matthew 10:33 says. He says, Jesus says, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So we have to be careful that we're not denying God. Now the Lord does promise a time of restoration. There is hope if we turn to the Lord tonight. Here's the hope, Hosea 1:10-11. Yet the time will come when Israel will be like the sands of the seashores, too many to count. Then at the place, look at this, where they were told, you are not my people, it'll be said, you are the children of the living God. Then the people of Judah and Israel will unite together and there'll be one leader for themselves and they'll return from exile together. What a day that will be, the day of Jezreel, when God will again plant his people in this land. So God says there is hope, even though it's bleak, even though God's abandoned his people, he says it doesn't end there. There's going to be a time of mercy and revival and a time where everything that was wrong was made right because of the covenant I made with Moses. The reason why God promises this future restoration was because the promise he made with Moses to bless his lineage. So he says, I'm going to bless future generations because the promise I made with Moses. So it's possible that your kids will reap the promises that God has made with you. So God has made me promises, and because he's a covenant-keeping God, he's going to bless my kids because of the covenant he made with me. But this is what he tells them to do, and we're going to skip a little bit here for the sake of time. Hosea 2:2. He says, but now I bring charges against Israel, your mother, for she's no longer my wife, and I'm no longer her husband. Tell her to remove the prostitute's makeup from her face and the clothing that exposes, I'll just say for the kids watching, that exposes her chest. All right, that's what he says. Remove the prostitute's makeup and the clothing that exposes her. God says, makeup by definition is used to enhance or alter your true appearance. And people, we know what people use makeup for, to make themselves look better than they really are. Okay, we all know people that when they have makeup on and when they don't have makeup, they look like two different people. You wouldn't be able to recognize it, okay? So just make sure that if you're going to get married to somebody that you see them without makeup, because you might be surprised when you realize they're not the person you thought they were. Let's just say it that way for the sake of the message, okay? Yeah, because you could do a lot with makeup. You can make yourself look, you know, much different and enhance your look, because the point of it is to cover blemishes, wrinkles, spots, and all of that. And isn't it ironic that God says, I'm coming for a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle? And here we see Israel wearing makeup to cover up the things that God says shouldn't be there. Do you see this? God says, I want a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. And there's nothing wrong with makeup, by the way. Okay? It's totally fine. Not a sin. Just saying. This is prophetic here. So you got to see what he's saying. He wasn't talking about literal makeup. We're talking about spiritual here. Okay? Makeup is used to cover blemishes. So ladies, don't freak out and start trying to be, you know, all natural, no makeup and all that. God says, I want a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Makeup is used to cover up spot, blemishes, or wrinkle. It doesn't get rid of them. It just covers them. And God doesn't want us to cover them. He wants us to get rid of them. So God says, I'm looking for holy people. Ephesians 5:27. He says, he did this to present himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any blemish. Instead, she'll be holy without fault. So sin, compromise, brings upon the body of Christ spot, wrinkles, and blemishes. The bride of Christ, because of sin and compromise, the bride of Christ gets spot, blemishes, and wrinkles. Makeup doesn't fix the spot, blemishes, or wrinkles. It covers them. What he's saying is, stop covering up what I'm trying to cleanse you of. Stop covering it up. I want you to be holy and without fault. Why? Because Christ has shed his blood for that. And he's going to present himself a glorious church. So we are called to be holy, not to be covered. Amen. The only thing we should be covering ourselves with spiritually is not makeup, but is the blood of Jesus. And when you act more spiritual than you are, hide your secret sin and use spirituality to cover it, you are covering yourself with makeup. So he says, I want you to be washed of that. Stop faking it. Let's just stop faking it. How many of you are tired? Just type amen in the chat if you're tired of being fake, if you're tired of covering it up and acting like you have it all together. Gomer's now left her husband and she's out sleeping around again. He's preaching. She's completely lost interest in him, like some of us have tonight in God. Remember, we're Gomer. You guys remember the story? And Christ is Hosea. She's now left him. She's out sleeping around, lost interest, goes back to doing what she used to do, how she used to act. That's the life of so many of us. Christ has delivered us, saved us, married us, healed us, cleansed us, and we go back to our old lifestyle. And how heartbroken is Hosea that now Gomer has gone back to prostitution, has gone back to cheating, is now having kids outside of wedlock. But then she comes to a place where she says, I might as well return to my husband. I was better off with him. Hosea chapter 2, verse 7. When she returns, when she runs after her lovers, she won't be able to catch them. She'll search for them, but won't find them. Then she will think, I might as well return to my husband. I was better off with him than I am now. So she wants to return to her husband. Look at this. Not because she loves and desires him, but she wants to return because it'll make her life easier. So times get hard, so she decides to return to her husband. But understand something, something when you come back to God, there's something powerful about coming back to God, not to make your life easier, but because you want to be in relationship with God. Being in a relationship with God is not about making our life easier, although many, many aspects of our life, in a sense, will get easier. Because now we have somebody to lean on and put our burden on and trust in and hope in and purpose and all that stuff. It will get harder in one sense, but easier in another sense. But we don't run back to God like Gomer did because it makes our life easier. We do it because we love him. Hosea 2:14. But then I will win her back once again. This is the Lord. This is Hosea, Gomer. I will lead her into the desert and I'll speak tenderly to her there. So he says, the only way I can win her back and this is what the Lord's going to do to some of you, is I'm going to take you into isolation. I'm going to remove all the blessings and the distractions out of your life so that I'm all that you have. And I challenge you tonight, remove every distraction that is stopping you from having a real relationship with God and say, I am going to turn back to God. And God says, I'll turn the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. The valley of trouble was a place where Achan and his family were killed for hiding stuff under their tent. And God says, I will reverse the areas of your life that were negative and cursed and make them blessed. This is what God says. The valley of trouble, which is where they killed Achan, will now be the gateway of hope. So in other words, the chaos in your home, the place where it's chaos and destruction, God says, I'm going to make it a place of joy and peace. So he says, love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with other lovers. That's Hosea 3:1. The Lord says, go and love your wife again, even though she commits adultery with other lovers. And this will illustrate how the Lord still loves Israel, even though the people have turned to other gods and love to worship them. Now, she had sold herself into slavery, and God is telling Hosea to buy her back. That's Hosea 3:2. He said, so I bought her back for 15 pieces of silver and 5 bushels of barley and measures of wine. And this is a representation of what Christ has done for us on the cross. He's purchased us. We've sold ourselves back to the darkness, to the enemy. And God said, I'm going to redeem you. That literally means to buy you back. When you cheated on God, when you ran from God, when you pursued other lovers, tonight the Lord says, I'm going to buy you back. I'm going to redeem you. I'm going to restore you. There's a cost to redemption, and the cost is Christ shedding his blood. Every time you praise, you worship, you cast out a demon, you lay hands on the sick, you experience blessing, understand that came with a price. It wasn't free. It cost something for you to be able to walk in freedom. It cost the very blood of Jesus. You have the life of God running through your veins. It's not cheap. Why do we cheapen it? Christ paid the ultimate price so you can walk with him. Redemption means to buy back. And so Hosea bought back Gomer. And he tells her this, okay? Now that he's bought her back, now that we've been purchased, I hope you're seeing this all spiritually tonight, because this is all a prophetic message, in that he really did these things to be a prophetic message to the nation of what God was doing. Here's what he tells her to do, okay? And this is what we're all called to do. This is the call to all. Every one of us are called to this right here. You ready? Stop prostituting and you must live in my house. God does not buy us back so we can keep living the way we've been living. God buys us back so we can dwell in his house all the days of our life and serve him. That's why God buys us back. And he tells her, you're no longer allowed to go out and sleep around with anybody else but me. He literally tells her that. And you need to stay inside. Stop going out looking for other things. I bought you back, so stay in my house. And this is what the Lord is saying to us. The Lord has bought us back. We've cheated on him. We've ran from him. There's idols in our life tonight. Many of us have committed spiritual adultery tonight. And the Lord says, now that I bought you back, stay in my house. And there were pitfalls. If you keep going, I challenge you to read it later. He gives all Israel all of their pitfalls. He says, you make vows, but you break them. You pass the blame to other people. These are things that he's saying they're doing wrong that we're also doing wrong, okay? You're destroyed because you don't know me. He says, you forget my laws, so I'll forget your children. You exchange my glory for idols. He says, the priests are glad when people sin. And he says, and I want you to know, I don't want your burnt offerings. I want obedience. I want obedience. Now, the punishment for all of these actions was God says, you can no longer stay in the land I've given you. You must return to Egypt. You must return back to bondage. I don't know about you guys. I don't want to go back to bondage. I don't want to go back to Egypt. I don't want to go back to the place that God has delivered me from. I want to walk in freedom and I want to get rid of spiritual adultery. If this is me, any idol in my life tonight, I want to say, Lord, search my heart. I want to make sure that I'm not a spiritual prostitute. I want to make sure that I'm not Gomer and that the Lord says, stay in my house. Stay in my house. Stay away from these idols. Some of you have gone back to the idols. You still go to church. You're still praising and worshiping, but you've gone back to idols. And the Lord says, you need to stay in my house. You need to stay washed and cleansed. So right now, let's repent for spiritual adultery. Let's take this prophetic message that God used the prophet to deliver to the people. Take it as a message to us as serious and say, Lord, forgive us tonight. God, I repent tonight. I'm tired of going back to my sin. Come on, what is the idol you're cheating on God with? Pornography? Video game addiction? Lust? Alcohol addiction? Come on, what is it? Work addiction? What is it? A relationship God's called you out of? What is the thing that you're worshiping, that you're bowing down to, that you're spending all of your time and affection on? What is the idol that you have in your life that God wants to break? Father, I pray tonight, break every idol, God, in our life. I pray tonight, Lord, that we would hear this message, it would fall on good ground, and that, Lord, you would shatter the idols in Jesus' name. I pray, God, you would shatter the compromise in our life in Jesus' name. That, Lord, you would cleanse us, you would wash us, and you would renew us so that we can see you clearly, God. So we can walk in your power. So we can walk in your spirit. So we can walk in your authority. God, we want to know you. God, we want to see you. God, we turn from our wicked ways. We turn from our idols. And Lord, we worship you and we praise you. God, do what only you can do in our hearts. God, do what only you can do in our minds. God, search our hearts tonight so we can experience your tangible presence and power. I pray tonight, Lord, bring conviction to us, God. Awaken us, Lord. Awaken our heart, God. Awaken our mind to you. Help us, Lord, to serve you, God. Help us, Lord, to know you, Lord, and to not be spiritual prostitutes. I mean, literally, that's what the Bible says. Don't be a spiritual prostitute. Don't cheat on God. Don't commit spiritual adultery. Lord, we are in a committed relationship. Guys, some of you think that this is an open relationship you could have with God. It's not. It's closed. It's committed. God only wants you. You cannot have multiple other lovers and idols and gods. God says, okay, then if that's how you want to live, I'll abandon you. I'll abandon my people. I'll turn from you. Lord, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. I don't want to live my life in wickedness and impurity and uncleanliness. But God, I want to walk according to your spirit. I want to walk according to your will. I want to walk according to the knowledge of you. Awaken me, Lord. Purify my mind, God. Purify my heart. Wash me, Lord, in your blood. Empower me by your Holy Spirit. By your Holy Spirit. I repent tonight. Come on, just pray that right now. Lord, I repent tonight, God. I want to stay in your house. I'm tired of turning to idols, Lord. I'm tired of turning to idols, Lord. I'm tired of turning to other gods and other things. But tonight, God, I'm being fully committed to you. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I know we went a little bit long. Oh, well. I had this word that I want to share with you guys. And I think we need to come back to God. I think we need to be radical. We need to be passionate. And we got to keep calling the church back to repentance no matter what. People don't want to hear it. But we got to keep calling people back to repentance. And if you're blessed by this word, please help us out. I know we weren't live last Monday. And just truthfully, it hurts us when we're not live because most of our giving is when we're live. So please pray about supporting the ministry. We're crowdfunded, we're crowd supported, meaning all of our content is free on YouTube. And then we're supported by those that are generous enough to give. If you have the finances to partner with our ministry, please do. You can become a monthly partner, which helps us out a lot. You can get 20% off the merch store, 70 sermons, and you can get partner call invites on Monday at noon. We've been praying together. It'll probably switch to Thursdays at 1:30. I'll announce that soon. We will be going live 3 times a week coming up soon. All right, we're going back to that. We're uploading a lot. I hope you guys like my sit-down videos I've been making in the kitchen. And we're just doing our best, guys. We're doing our best to keep plowing. It's been 5 years, 2,000 videos. It's definitely not as easy as it used to be because I feel like, man, I've made videos on everything. But I'm just doing my best to keep this community together, to keep pressing, and to stay encouraged by what the Lord is doing among us, right? It's easy to get discouraged because the numbers are up and down and all over. It's just how it is. It's how it is, you know? During the whole shutdown, we were 3,000-4,000 live every stream. Like tonight, we had like 1,500. It's like, it could be discouraging. Last week, we had 2,500. Tomorrow, who knows how much we'll have. It's like, it's just all over the place. We just pray for me that I would not get discouraged, that I would stay on that in that fire and just keep bringing the word of God strong as I believe I've been for the last 5 years. And people like Edwin, Zalea, thank you, bro. You've always gone so over and above supporting and giving. So I just want to say thank you, man. It's helped out tremendously. All of you that have been givers, monthly supporters, one time. It's been a wild road doing this full time with no salary at a church, no, just trusting the Lord. And it is what it is. We're just trusting the Lord. We keep doing it until he tells us not to. And there may be a day where he tells us not to. I can't personally see that happening because we're reaching millions of people. We have like, what, 100, I think, and 80 million views on our YouTube channel alone. So we're reaching hundreds of millions of people, which is crazy to think about. And thank you for your support because you're part of us reaching all those people. We literally couldn't do it without you. And if it's only a dollar you give or $2 or $5, it's fine. I thank you. I appreciate you. If everybody partners and gives something, it helps us out tremendously. But yeah, don't be discouraged, guys. That's a word for you, a word for me. It's life fluctuates. Life is up, life is down, but the one that remains the same is Christ. Some months you're the flavor of the month. Some months, nobody cares. But you just got to continue to serve the Lord. And that's one thing I could say that my Nino's taught me, my pastor, is be faithful. And that is being consistent. Keep showing up when you don't feel like it. And I will say, I don't know anybody more consistent with live streaming than me. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I am tooting my own horn. Okay? For 5 years, I've been consistent. I miss a handful of live streams per year. You guys know that. I'm on episode 185, I think, of the podcast, and episode 188 of these Monday teachings, and episode like 70 of our call-in show. That's like, what, over 400 episodes of these plus 1,500 other videos just consistently showing up. So you're sad when I don't show up, and I'm sad when you don't show up. You need me to show up for you. I need you to show up for me, and not just financially and supporting the ministry, but just being here. And if you can't afford to give, there's something better you can do. Pray for us. Pray for my wife. Pray for my four kids. You know, pray for us. It's not easy. We're obviously a target for the enemy, and there's a lot that comes with it, but we wouldn't be doing this if it wasn't for your guys' prayer support. Like literally, without you guys supporting us in prayer, we're carried by that. We couldn't do it. So keep us in your prayer. If you can't afford to give, that's totally fine. Keep us in your prayer. Now, I'm going to read a couple donations here tonight because for old time's sake and hang out in the chat. And then at around 7:30, I'm going to go have dinner with my family because the kids are going to bed at 8 o'clock now because they have school. But Jared's going to be, we're going to redirect you to Jared has a live sermon, well, a live sermon premiering on his channel. So it'll direct you there right after this show. So yeah, but let me read some donations here. There's the Venmo for those of you asking at Isaiah Saldivar. I have all the links and all the platforms. So you could give. You could give, okay? There's there my website. If you partner, it's there on the website. Thank you again for partnering. Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App, it's all there. Let me read here. I'll start with the Cash App, and then I'll just hang out for a few minutes with you guys. And then tomorrow will be live at 6, and then I'm going to be leaving to Alabama and Georgia. If you want to come see me, I'll just give you the info really quick. I'll be in Alabama. Go to my website. But I'll be in Alabama this Friday and Saturday, and then I'll be in Georgia 10 a.m. Sunday morning and 6 p.m. Sunday night, September 15th in Dawsonville, Georgia at Christ Fellowship Church. Big building. So if you're in Georgia, come see me because this will be the only time I'm there for probably a year. So if you're in Georgia, go to my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. Go find me in Georgia. I'll be in Dawsonville. It's not far from Atlanta because this is your chance. Don't be like, when are you coming? This is your chance. This is your chance. All right, let's see. Do we have any on Cash App today? We have a couple here. Bree, thank you so much. Josiah, thank you. Jack, thank you. Rolando, thank you. Edward, thank you so much. Gloria, thank you. Billy Nolan, thank you. Julie Babin, thank you. Holly Sloan, thank you. Miss Letty, thank you. Angel, thank you. And Amanda, thank you. That's the Cash App. Sandra, thank you so much. Amanda, hi, thank you so much. For all of you giving on Cash App, you guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. Okay, give me a second. And then I'll hang out and talk to you guys here for a second. Let me open up my Venmo. Most people give on Cash App. Let's see. But let me check my Venmo and see. Edwin, I love you, bro. It's so good to see you. Thank you, bro. Thank you so much for supporting for so long. All right, Michael Bukowski, thank you, brother. Caroline Mojica, thank you. Another Caroline, you're another one that's been there since, I think, the beginning. So thank you for always giving. So many familiar faces. Some of you have been faithful for 5 years in your giving, and just thank you. I appreciate it. I don't know what else to say. Randy, thank you. Those are the Venmos. Let's check the PayPal. My doorbell camera will not stop going off here. I don't know if there's any on PayPal tonight. Let's see, I have a couple here. Miss Fabulous, thank you. Juanita, thank you. Kelly, thank you. Mullane, thank you. We had four on PayPal there. So you guys would be surprised. There's thousands of people that watch, but very, very small handful of people that partner in that give. All right. So that's how it is. That's the bottom line. It's the bottom line. Thousands of people watch, but only a handful of people partner. So partner with us. Partner with us. Thank you, Josiah, for always praying. The lo-fi music is fine. Is my music too loud? I don't think you can barely hear it, can you? Okay, so we are going to be in Alabama, then Georgia, and then we'll be in October. We will be at the Breakers Conference at the Now Arena in Chicago in October. And then in January, I'll be in Arizona at Without Walls Church. That's it. Those are the only dates I have. So if you're like, when are you going to be in New York? When are you going to be? I don't have any other dates for you guys. I don't know what else to say. Those are the only dates I have. All right. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I have a couple more minutes to be on here, and then I'm going to jump off and go have dinner. But I'll be live again tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we're going to be live 3 times a week and doing all that stuff. Doing all those uploads, all right? Just speak to me, Lord, all right? There's Carl on screen for you guys. I do miss the intros, though, hanging out with you guys in the intros. But it just, live streaming is just not good for videos, views, and YouTube and all that. So it is what it is. It's a sacrifice to do that and not pre-record because I love the lives. I know you guys do or you wouldn't be here. So it's a sacrifice, but the 5-minute intros just kind of ruin the videos later on. They don't get recommended to people. And we want the message to get out there. That's the goal. Do you still bass fish or only play pickleball now? I only play pickleball. I only literally can do one hobby at a time. I know some of you can like golf and fish and do all that. I can't do all that. My personality is like, I'm all in, too bad, too much. So I can only do one thing at a time because I just get fully invested in all that. So yeah, I can't. I only do pickleball. That's it. What camera are you using? I use the Sony FX3 usually, but right now in this studio, I'm using the Sony A7 S3. It's pretty much the same thing for video. But yeah, Sony A7 S3. All right. Get off here in a couple minutes. Anything else that you guys want to talk about or say? Jesus loves you. Yeah, thank you, Mitchell. Isaiah, why would you go to heaven? Because I put my faith in the finished work of the cross. And because I have a relationship with Christ. But I think if you do put your faith in Christ and don't have a relationship with him, those are possible two realities to have. A true relationship with Christ is evidence that you've put your faith in him. I pray many get in their prayer closet tonight. Me too. Is that a real bird? He's a virtual bird. He was a real bird somewhere. How's the puppy? The puppy's doing good. The deliverance map is doing great, getting so many emails. Awesome. The deliverance map is updated daily. Okay, people are taken off and people are added every single day. So looking forward to seeing Greg Locke. Yeah, I haven't heard from Greg, but I think he's doing well. If you guys don't know, he got his house shot up last week, which is so crazy. I think over 40 rounds of a fully automatic rifle, and it's just unreal. Unreal. We got a teacup Yorkie. She's running around the house somewhere. What are you having for dinner? I'm not sure, but my wife is cooking right now. I gotta say shout out to my wife. Because she has been cooking dinner every night for now the last, like, almost 3 weeks. And a lot of the times before, we would just DoorDash or go out to eat and get something fast. But she's been cooking dinner every night for the last 3 weeks. She hasn't really missed. And so, shout out to Alyssa. She's that, what do you call it? Trad wife? Traditional wife? I don't know, but I like it. And she's doing a great job. She's such a great wife and mom and all of that. I couldn't do what I'm doing without her. Edwin, hey, got those old quotes. So yeah, shout out to Alyssa. Yeah, I did a video on the whole Greg Locke. You can just go to his page and he made a post about it. Yes, I have a book coming out in November. Go pre-order it. Thank you. Thank you, Jared. You're hilarious. This is my book coming out in November. Go pre-order on Amazon. It's at number one. Praise the Lord, number one for charismatic and Pentecostal Christianity right now. Let's keep it at number one. The ranks change every day, but yeah, we're blessed. You can get on Amazon. It's in the description too. Do you cook? No, I don't. I could boil water. That's about it. You saw the movie come out in Jesus' name? Awesome. Awesome. My husband sings the Trad Wife song to me. Hey, shout out to all the Trad Wives. The cooking stream. We got to do another one. That video still always gets recommended to me. And it's my video. And it gets recommended to my channel on the recommended page. So yeah, we'll do a cooking stream soon. That was a lot of work, man. We had all those camera angles. We had some tech difficulties, but it went good. It was fun. It was super fun. We got to do that again, for sure. Those are a lot of work to set up and just to do. But we will do it again. And yes, it'll be an audiobook as well. It'll be an audiobook as well. For live streaming, I use Sony A7S3. But for pre-recording videos, I use a Sony FX3. Sony FX3 is the one you want. It's my favorite camera. Okay, I'll be live tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Thank you guys for giving, partnering, and just keeping us going. Thank you so much. I'll see you guys in Alabama. I'll see you guys in Georgia. And I'll see you guys tomorrow night live. I love you guys so much. Let's go over to Jared's channel. Let me get the link for you guys. It will redirect you. But if you don't have the redirect, let me send it to you guys. Because the premiere is about to start. This is where we're going if you're on Facebook. Jared has a live sermon that's about to premiere. And I'm going to go eat dinner with the kids. Love you guys so much. Let's keep going. 5 years in. We're still going strong. Here we are 5 years later. And we're just plowing. We're just taking it one day at a time. I don't know. God is good. Love you guys so much. Salute. You guys are all soldiers. Bless you guys. Love you all. See you guys tomorrow night. Hopefully you come back. All right. Go over to Jared's channel now. His thing is about to start. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.